الحمد لله الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له ونشهد أن سيدنا ونبينا ومولانا محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله تعالى عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه وبارك وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم يا أيها الذين آمنوا ادخلوا في السلم كافة صدق الله مولانا العظيم وصدق رسوله النبي الحبيب الكريم ونحن على ذلك لمن الشاهدين والشاكرين والحمد لله رب العالمين Each person is looking for complete success and complete happiness. What is complete success, complete happiness? A life of complete success, complete happiness is a life wherein a person does not have any worries, any problems. There is no illness and sickness. Is only good health, is only enjoyment and comfort. There is no worries, no anxiety, no distress. And a person does not fear something happening in the future where the goodness is enjoying, the happiness is enjoying, the comfort is enjoying will be snatched away. So it's a life of happiness, and happiness through and through. So there is no, it's continuous life, no death. Continuous happiness, no grief. Continuous good health, no illness. Continuous richness, no poverty. This is a life of complete success, a life of complete happiness. Allah Rabbul Izzat had made this type of life only in Jannah. When we look at this dunya does not have the capacity to give insan this type of life, a life of complete happiness and complete success. This dunya doesn't have. Some days there might be happiness and other days there'll be sadness. Some days there might be poverty, other days there might be wealth and riches. Some days a person goes to comfort, sometimes discomfort. Allah Rabbul Izzat made this dunya a different type of plane and akhirat a different type of plane. So akhirat is the only abode of complete happiness and complete success for the believer. But Allah Rabbul Izzat made this dunya the currency to get that life. The currency, the ticket, the passport, to get into Jannah, Allah made this life. And if a person comes with this currency from this dunya before Allah on the day of Qiyamah, Allah will grant him that life of complete happiness and success. Now we have to ask ourselves, what is this currency? The currency of Jannah. So there's two things that forms the currency for a person to enter Jannah. One is hukukullah. And the second is hukukul ibad, to fulfill the rights he owes to Allah. And the second is to fulfill the rights he owes to the creation of Allah. Now when we're in the months of Hajj, and the 5 days of Hajj are about to commence from Monday, the Hujjaj will be carrying out the rituals of Hajj. Now the entire Hajj is the legacy of Ibrahim alayhi salam and the family of Ibrahim alayhi salam. So we all speak worldwide, people will, remembering the ultimate sacrifice, the great sacrifice of Nabi Ibrahim alayhi salam, we all be speaking about it. But when you look deeply in the life of Ibrahim alayhi salam, he possessed these two qualities. Fulfilling the command of Allah at every moment, huququllah. And at the same time, he was concerned about fulfilling the rights he owed to the creation of Allah, huququl ibad. Not just fulfilling rights, but to go further and be kind, compassionate, merciful, to be there at every moment for the creation, to see how you can bring ease and comfort to the creation. This was the highlight in the life of Nabi Ibrahim alayhi salatu salam, which Allah Rabbul Izzat in different places in Quran Majid, Allah is speaking about it. Nabi alayhi salatu salam also spoke about it in the Mubarak Ahadith. For me and you to gain lesson, for us to follow the example of Nabi Ibrahim alayhi salam. Allah says to Rasulullah salam, that the life of Ibrahim alayhi salam was the life I like. The way of Ibrahim alayhi salam was the way I like. Ittabi' millata Ibrahim. O Muhammad salam, follow the way of Ibrahim alayhi salam. O ummat of Rasul salam, ittabi'u millata Ibrahim. Follow the way of Ibrahim. Now Ibrahim alayhi salatu salam came number two in the rank of Anbiya. In the galaxy of Anbiya, Nabi alayhi salam is ranked the highest. Nabi salam is Imamul Anbiya wal Mursaleen. He even surpassed Ibrahim alayhi salam. Ibrahim alayhi salam is number two. Thereafter comes all the other Anbiya. But Allah Pak is telling Rasul salam in the Quran that the way of life of Ibrahim alayhi salam was that which I really like, you know. So there's many things in the life of Ibrahim alayhi salam that Allah Pak put in the ummah of Rasul salam. Allah Ta'ala put in the shariat of Rasulullah salam. You see the qibla that we perform our salah towards. Ibrahim alayhi salam built the qibla, the Kaaba Sharif. So Allah Pak liked the Kaaba and the qibla of Ibrahim alayhi salam. Allah said, O ummah of Rasul, follow the qibla of Ibrahim alayhi salam. Then when he comes to Hajj and Umrah, completely Ibrahim alayhi salam. Complete. The narration of Majmu' Zawaid, Allah Pak sent Jibreel alayhi salam to teach Ibrahim alayhi salam all the rituals of Hajj from the beginning right till the end. When Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam was on the plains of Arafah, Mina, and certain Sahaba wanted to come close to him, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, there's no need to come too close. The numbers, the multitudes are very, very, very great. So if everybody is going to try to come close to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, it's going to be difficult. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned, innakum ala irsim min irsi Ibrahim. Remain where you are. That all this land is holy ground. Is that you are on the legacy of Ibrahim alayhi salam. Allahu Akbar. So, Ibrahim alayhi salam. The khatna, the first person to carry out khatna in the world was Ibrahim alayhi salam. Again, Allah Pak put this in the ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Then the time of qurbani, sahaba asked, O Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, ma hadhi al-adahi, that this qurbani we carry out every year. What is the significance of this qurbani? Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned, sunnatu abikum Ibrahim. This is the way of your forefather Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam. Sahaba said, fama lana fiha ya, what will we get in this? Nabi sallallahu mentioned, for every strand of hair on the back of that animal, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give you one reward. Allah will give it. So sahaba said, what about will? Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, likulli sha'ratin min asuf, every fiber of will, Allah will give you a reward also. So this is the two qualities in the life of Ibrahim alayhi salam that stood out, is that whenever Allah commanded him with any command, Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam fulfilled the command of Allah with distinction. He got full marks, flying colors. He fulfilled everything in the best way, how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wanted it. Whatever command came, he did it. And the second thing that was special in his life, kindness to the creation. Kindness to the creation. It is mentioned, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam asked Jibreel alayhi salam, O Jibreel, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala conferred the title of Khalilullah to Ibrahim alayhi salam. From the galaxy of Anbiya, the Nabi who has been blessed with this title, Khalilullah, the special friend of Allah, was Ibrahim alayhi salam. So Nabi alayhi salam is asking, O Jibreel, which action did Ibrahim alayhi salam do that, so to say, caught the special attention of Allah and earned him this title of Khalilullah? So Jibreel alayhi salam mentioned it was the quality of always feeding the creation, always. And in other narrations it is mentioned that when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was to grant Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salam this title, Allah ta'ala sent Malakul Maut. So Ibrahim alayhi salatu salam, it was his habit that whenever he would sit down for meals, that he would always like to have a guest. In the hadith, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentioned the first person in the world who extended an invitation to people, who gave a dawah to people, the first person, Ibrahim alayhi salam. First, comes in a hadith. The first person who have a guest, and he fed him, was Ibrahim alayhi salam. Of course, giving sadaqah all Ambiya had, but to call someone home, to feed them. So Nabi Ibrahim alayhi salam, always at the time of meals, he would leave his home to go in search for some guest. Then he used to bring him home. And then he would see this person with him, and then he would feed him. So, on one specific occasion, Nabi Ibrahim alayhi salam left his home to look for a guest. He couldn't find any guest. He was very grieved and saddened. He came home. He couldn't find anybody on that day. And as he entered his home, he sees this one person standing in his house. So Nabi Ibrahim alayhi salam asked this person that, "Who are you? Who gave you permission to enter my home in my absence?" So this person mentioned it was an angel, Malakul Maut, who came in the form of a human being. In the form of insan. So he said that the owner of this home, the real owner of this home, he gave me permission to enter. So Ibrahim alayhi salam immediately knew it. He said that Allah give you. He says, "Yes." He said, "I am Malakul Maut." So he said, "Allah Ta'ala had sent me to you to inform you that from among the entire creation, there is one servant who Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has conferred the title of Khalilullah, the special friend of Allah. There is one special servant." Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salam's immediate response, he told that, "Oh Malakul Maut, please tell me who is this servant and where he lives. Even if he's in the most distant part to him, to go and meet him, to remain in his company, and to learn the love of Allah from him." Now this was the humility of Ibrahim alayhi salam. Who's the servant? He never thought, you know, I'm the man, you know. And maybe it came for me. He didn't think that. And then Malakul Maut told him that, "No, Allah Pak has sent me to inform you that you are that servant." Ibrahim alayhi salam said, "Really, I'm that servant?" Said, "Yeah." And then he asked Malakul Maut, "On account of which action did Allah Pak bless me with this title? Allah Ta'ala grant me this honor." So Malakul Maut told him that on account of the action that you always feed people, you always feed the creation, you give charity to the creation, and you don't expect anything from anyone at any time. You're always there to give your heart. You are there to spend, you are there to feed, you are there to give, and you don't expect anything for the good that you do to the creation. So this quality Allah Pak loves. You see, Ibrahim Hassan had it. You see, on one occasion, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam addressed the Sahaba. Nabi alayhi salatu wasallam mentioned, "O my Sahaba, who among you today is fasting?" So all the Sahaba, Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu, "Ana ya Rasul, O Rasul of Allah, I am fasting." Nabi alayhi salam said, "Who among you today has went and gone to visit a sick person?" Abu Bakr said, I went to visit the sick. Then the third thing, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentioned, which person among you today had taken part in a janazah?" Abu Bakr said, "I took part." Rasulullah, "Which person among you, he gave sadaqah, he fed some poor person some food?" Abu Bakr said, I fed a poor person. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam mentioned, that person who has these four qualities, he carries out these four qualities on one day, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will build a palace for him in Jannah. And certain narration, that person will enter Jannah. Abu Bakr had it. Now if you look at these four qualities, one is fasting, the haqq of Allah. And the remainder three, haqqul ibad, huququl ibad, is a concern. Ibrahim alayhi salam, because of this kindness to creation, he became Khalilullah. Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu's kindness to creation, arhamu ummati bi ummati Abu Bakr. The most kind person from my ummah to show kindness to my ummah is Abu Bakr. He got that title, arhamu ummati bi ummati Abu Bakr. He got that. There we find, Nabi Sallallahu also mentioned the person who gives charity, he gives two things in charity, he gives two. On the day of Qiyamah, the eight doors of Jannah will all call out his name. Now Jannah has thousands of doors. But the eight are the front doors to enter. And once you enter Jannah, there's many, many thousands of doors in different parts of Jannah. So in the hadith, it mentioned a person who gives charity two things or whatever, any two things he gives. Allah Pak appreciates. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will make it such on the day of Qiyamah, the eight doors, there will be angels. And they all will be calling out his name, that please come to enter Jannah through our door, enter Jannah through our door. So Abu Bakr Siddiq was among the Sahaba. He told, "O Nabi of Allah, Of course, this will be a very great honor that all the doors of Jannah, the angel standing will be extending that warm welcome invitation to that servant, calling him, "You come and enter." But O Rasul of Allah, tell me, will there be any servant in your ummah who every door of Jannah, whether the external or internal, the thousands and thousands of doors, whatever it is, that angels at every door will be shouting his name and calling, "Enter." O Nabi of Allah, is there any servant? Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned, "O Abu Bakr, that'll be you." Now, ulama explained in the hadith, it comes that there'll be certain doors, the door of jihad. The person who strove in the path of Allah, he got outstanding, you know, marks. And he got flying colors in that department, you know. Then Allah Pak will, that he will enter with honor to the door of jihad. Some person, he always, a lot of nafil salah, besides the farz, a lot of nafil. So the door of salah, there'll be a door of salah. There'll be a door of roza, there'll be a door of charity, there'll be different doors. So Abu Bakr is asking that, O Nabi of Allah, will there be any servant? In other words, Hazrat Muhammad Shah Kashmiri Rahmatullahi, the great, great wali, muhaddis of his time, the walking library, he explains the hadith. He says, Abu Bakr is asking Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, "O Nabi of Allah, will there be any servant who will get 100 marks in every department of deen?" You know, sometimes maybe a person, a lot of roza he's keeping. But when it comes to his namaz, maybe he got a weakness in namaz. Maybe a person, you know, his namaz is right, roza is right. But with regard to akli halal, he's eating halal, maybe his business is not running it right, you know. So in that department of deen is failing, you know. Allah Pak save him. So will there any servant at every aspect, you know, every aspect, he'll get flying colors, he'll have full marks in everything. With regard to the rights he owes to Allah, with regard to the rights he owes to the servants of Allah, Nabi says, "Oh Abu Bakr, that'll be you." What an honor. So he's mentioned in the hadith, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam explained to the Sahaba, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created this entire universe, and Allah created the world, so the angels were there to observe how Allah created the world. And Allah created the world, and the world didn't have any mountains pegged on it. So as a result, the earth was wobbly. The earth wasn't steady. So then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to create that steadiness in the earth, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created the huge mountains, and Allah ta'ala pegged the earth with mountains to create stability, different parts. So the angels witnessing this, they were amazed. They said, "Oh Allah, the mountains so huge, magnificent, and they sorted the problem out. So tell, O Allah, tell us, did you create any creation greater than the mountains, more powerful than the mountains?" The mountains, see how what the mountain did. So Allah Rabbul Izzat mentioned to the angel, "Yes, I've created a creation greater than the mountains." Say, what is that creation, O Allah? Allah Ta'ala mentioned steel. Men use steel to break mountains. So the power of steel. So the angel said, "O Allah, did you create a creation greater than steel?" Allah Ta'ala, yes, I created something greater. Say, what is that? Allah Ta'ala mentioned fire. That's iron, steel. Fire melts it. So the malaika say, "Oh Allah, did you create a creation that even more powerful than even the fire?" Allah said, "Water. I created water." So the angel said, "Oh Allah, did you create a creation even more powerful than water?" Allah said, "Yes, I created a wind." You don't see the sea as powerful, magnificent and great it may look. But when there's heavy winds, then the water also goes in the direction of the wind. If the ship is sailing, especially in those zamana, that time, they didn't have steamers like today. They had sails. According to the wind, the water, the ship, everything is at the mercy of the winds. So the wind, powerful as the wind. Hurricane will come, tornado will come, you can see what happens. Whirlwind. So then the malaika said, "Oh Allah, did you create any creation even more powerful than the winds?" Allah said, "Yes, I created." See, what's that? He said, "The sadaqah of Bani Adam. The sadaqah of insan. That when insan gives sadaqah only with ikhlas, with the right hand, he gives the sadaqah and he conceals it from the left hand. Yeah, only ikhlas, he doesn't inform people. He shows kindness to the creation of Allah. He spends on those who are poor. He fulfills the rights of people. He doesn't usurp rights. Then Allah Pak becomes very happy. He said that sadaqah will be able to change the world, you know. It's showing kindness to the creation. You see, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned, "Hassinu amwalakum bi zakat." Protect your wealth through giving zakat. "Wadawu mardakum bi sadaqah." Treat your sick and your ill with sadaqah. "Wastaqbilu amwal al bala." أمواج البلاء بالدعاء والتضرع and the waves of calamities. If you want to save yourself, then through dua and turning in submission to Allah tabarak wa ta'ala. So that's sadaqah. So two things, brothers. One is the command of Allah. Ibrahim alayhi salam, he taught us, whatever command, Allah Pak asked him to leave his family who on kufr, he left them. Then Allah Pak told him, leave your people who on kufr, he separated from them. Then Allah Pak commanded him to leave the land he was staying. Namrud was the king, he was commanding him to worship him, Namrud. Ibrahim alayhi salam, look at the qurbani after qurbani. So he moved from his home, then he moved from his land, then he moved from his city, then he moved from his country. Allahu Akbar. Then Allah Pak granted him a son, Ismail alayhi salam. Then Allah Pak commands him, take your wife, Hajar, take the child, go and leave them in Makkah, Mukka, barren land. And then he fulfilled that command. And then with the child, and Allah Pak made when the child grow up, and Allah Pak says, oh, Ibrahim slaughtered a child. He was given a dream, in the dream he was shown, the dreams of Anbiya, Wahi, revelation. And then immediately he submitted. And Ismail also submitted, he put that knife. But what was the lesson? When he put that knife, he was fulfilling the command of Allah. Made it such, Ibrahim al-Sam didn't know how this is going to end up. He didn't know that ram will be sent from Jannah to ransom Islam. He didn't know this. So it was a complete test year. And he passed with flying colors. Allah was so happy with him. Every year Allah Pak made it in the Ummah of Rasul, we have to slaughter that animal. But what is the lesson behind? The lesson is Ibrahim al-Sam, become like Ibrahim al-Sam, follow the way of Ibrahim al-Sam. And of course, Rasulullah ﷺ was greater than follow the way of Rasulullah ﷺ. At the time of Qurbani, when we put that knife on the neck of that animal, what is it? What's that lesson? It's not only the animal. No, we have to do this. It's obligation. But the lesson of Qurbani is submission before the command of Allah. Whatever Allah wants, fulfill Allah's rights. Fulfill the rights we owe to the servants of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the way that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will become happy. Just look at it. You know, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is explaining to the sahaba, those who go for hajj, hajj mabrur, hajj maqbul. You know, when someone is going for hajj, you know what preparations they make, spending so much of wealth, so much of money, the journey is arduous also, and sometimes difficult situations, you know, you come across, it's not so easy. And before the person is going, he hopes that, oh Allah, grant me hajj mabrur, hajj maqbul. Look what... So Rasulullah SAW is explaining to the Sahaba and he said, Al-Hajjul Mabrur, Laysa Lahu Jaza'un Illa Al-Jannah. Oh my Sahaba, an accepted Hajj, a righteous and virtuous Hajj, there is no befitting reward but Jannat. In other words, the Hadith mentioned a person who does Hajj, then he gets a lot of benefits in this world. His sins get forgiven, Allah gives him barakah in his wealth, in his life, everything. And his du'as are accepted, if you make du'as for others, so many benefits. But these are the perks on the side. Rasulullah also means that the actual reward, Allah has kept it in store for the Hadi in Jannat. But this is provided you got Hajj Mabrur, you got that accepted Hajj, that virtuous, that righteous Hajj. So Rasulullah also means in Al-Hajjul Mabrur, Laysa Lahu Jaza'un, that virtuous, that righteous Hajj, there's no reward but Jannat. So the Sahaba asked, Ya Rasulullah, وَمَا بِرُّهُ What is Hajj Mabrur? How to get that Hajj Mabrur? Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said three things. Ishaw salam. Wherever you meet them with a very happy countenance and face, you make salam to them. Tibul kalam. You speak gently, politely, kindly, mercifully towards people, with a lot of mercy. So you always making salam to everybody with a smiley face, you're making salam, of course, not to the ladies, to the men. Number two, tibul kalam, you're speaking nicely to people. And itam utam, feeding people. Charity, you're feeding. Now, we would have thought, when Sahaba said, how to make that Hajj maqbool, accepted, how to make it a virtuous, righteous, Rasulullah said, hey, make sure you learn on the maslas of Hajj, you know. Rasulullah didn't say that. That goes without saying in other hadiths, Rasulullah also explained, make sure you learn the Hajj, everything. But here, Rasulullah is showing, if you want to bring that noor into that Hajj, then fulfill the rights you owe to the servants of Allah. These three things got nothing to do with the actual Hajj. But Allah is seeing how you're treating my servants. Allah, this is for the Hajj. Then every day we come into the masjid and we're not parking our car right. And now the phone is ringing in the masjid and you're causing taklif. And at home you're swearing your wife and you got a problem with the neighbors. And maybe you're hurting your family members, you're not fulfilling their hukuk, you did this one down, it's Allahu Akbar. And but you're giving charity, maybe you're reading Quran, Ramzan came, but that reward you're not going to get. Because that Hajj, imagine that Hajj, Rasulullah, you want that Hajj to get accepted, you have to do all this. So in other words, brothers, when this Qurbani comes, what he teaches us, become like Ibrahim alayhi salam, become like Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, fulfill the rights you owe to Allah, fulfill the rights you owe to the servant of Allah. Be a good person in every sense, and Allah must be happy, and servants must say also, this is a good man, you passed away, he was a wonderful person, he fulfilled the rights of everyone. Allah give me a tawfiq wa akhda wa alhamdulillah.